Step 27, emotional discipline. I've talked a lot about emotion in this program, so I don't have to go into it an awful lot. But here's a few things that I'd like to add. The tribal emotion is the tribal emotion. They're in their evolution. You have to understand and sympathize with that. You have to understand that they're going to be out of control, scared, pompous, silly, and you have to let them be without judging or criticizing them. You have to distance yourself from the tribal emotion. So when you see those newspaper headlines that say inflation shock, you don't get sucked in. In fact, if you buy the stupid paper and read it, you'll find that inflation's gone from 1.11% to 1.15%. And it's no shock at all, and it isn't going to make a blind bit of difference to your life. You have to stay balanced in a society where the governments and the finances and the markets are bouncing around perpetually. None of that stuff is getting any better, is it? So don't get sucked into the emotional lack, and don't get sucked into your own emotions. Remember this, when you feel negative, immediately nip that emotion in the bud. Extremes of a negative emotion are like a nuclear bomb going off inside your metaphysical energy. You have to control balance first. So as soon as you find yourself getting out of control, pull back, sit down, visualize yourself standing above the situation, standing above yourself, and look back at this lovely person that's you and ask yourself, what's upsetting her? Or what's he angry about? The little booklet that comes with this program is all about healing emotion and the reasons for emotion. For example, in one of the chapters, I talk about confusion. All confusion comes from asking questions. You have to ask a question in order to be confused. Think about it. Confusion comes from complexity, and complexity comes from the intellect. If your life is very complex and you're asking yourself loads and loads of questions, you'll be confused. If you want to heal confusion, simplify your life. Take a minimalist approach, a less cluttered approach, and ask less questions. Just be and flow. Anger comes from loss. You've got to lose something to be angry. So as soon as you've lost something, sit down and figure out what it is you've lost and agree to lose it. Frustration comes from the intellectual disease of having to put things into time frames and little boxes that aren't necessarily reasonable. So frustration is a disease of not understanding your infinite self, not understanding time, not having enough patience. If you don't have enough time to do all the things that you need to do, it's a sign of your lack of control. It's a manifestation of the fact that you lack good boundaries. You have to set boundaries and get rid of some of the things that you've chosen to do or that you're obliged to do and pull back and get into control by eliminating the less important stuff and staying inside the actions that are profitable or pleasing or comfortable. Being a workaholic is a disease of the ego. Don't become a power freak and don't become a money freak. Get alive first and do the other stuff as much as you need to do or want to do. Everything in moderation. Back to emotion for a minute. If you're going through an emotional time, ask yourself, what is your opinion? You might say, I'm insecure, Stu, because I think I might be losing my job. Okay, stop and pull back. What can you do about it? The way it is the way it is. You're perceiving that things aren't going well at work. What's the next step? Action. Rather than running away because of the emotion, rather than being the little child that gets scared and flees, when you feel scared, when you feel insecure, step forward, not back. Write that down and put it up on the refrigerator. When I feel insecure, I will step forward, not back. I will immediately review the situation and take action. If there's trouble at work, what can you do to fix it? Who can you talk to square things away? The factory may be laying off people, but probably they won't lay off everybody. So what can you do to improve your performance? What can you do to fix the troubles? Well, first you can create more energy. But if that doesn't work, what's the worst that can happen? You're going to get chucked out of this job and find something else to do. So maybe the universe is helping you by releasing you from one dumb job and opening up the doors to find you something more creative and profitable to do. Maybe when you take a long, hard look at it, it's time to chuck the job anyway. You've been there too long. It's got too crazy. You're too involved with people. You've lost your respect. Maybe they've lost their respect for you. If you don't watch carefully, things get polluted. Sometimes you have to leave and start again for people to see you in a new light. So emotional discipline is not buying the popular emotion, not buying the collective ego concepts of lack, fear, insecurity, who's going to provide for me, that kind of stuff. Not accepting the emotions that are nationalistic and warlike, and staying inside the serenity, the infinity that you are. You're in flow. You're in the arms of the God Force. You are the God Force. So never forget that. And understand that if you take to this infinite self, your life will be one of perpetually not knowing and perpetual change. And that won't bother you as you've learned to hold on to nothing. So when your mind rebels and says, I don't want anything new, I don't want change, just step back and say, come, it's safe, come. Then make it do something it hasn't done before or change something. Now the lounge is in the bathroom. And as you step to more and more energy, silent power, you begin to perceive other worlds, other dimensions completely. A dimension beyond the contradictions and limitations of the ego. Beyond desire, beyond feeling, beyond what you think you know, beyond the popular emotion. Gradually, by processing emotion and understanding the psychological technology involved, which you'll find listed in the booklet, Weight Loss for the Mind, you'll understand how to handle it. It isn't complex. It may just feel complex to you, because at the moment you may belong to your emotions. You think they're yours. They aren't. They belong to the ego. The infinite self cannot be insecure. Step 28, mental discipline. Throughout this 33 steps program, I've discussed the journey from negativity to positivity, the journey from ego to spirit. And a lot of that hinges upon mental discipline. Sometimes being very intellectual is a huge spiritual disadvantage. If you're very clever, you tend to dwell in the mind. It's reasonable to do so. It's pleasing to do so. It's the same as if you're very good at running. You may find yourself 6 hours a day on the track enjoying your abilities. But being very intellectual can be a hindrance, but it's not a death blow to the spiritual quest. If you're not very bright, take a moment to kneel down and thank the God Force. Thank it for not making you too intellectual. That's a great gift. In the Tao, they revered the disadvantaged. There's a strange concept which says the tallest tree is the first one to be cut down. The crooked, gnarly tree that's ugly and bent is of no use to the woodsman, so it grows for 1,000 years. The cripple doesn't have to go to war. He isn't required to build things or to perform. So the cripple in the Tao is revered the same as the gnarled, crooked tree. The Tao says, to remain whole, be twisted. To become straight, let yourself be bent. To become full, be hollow. Of course, hollow means free of stuff. If you don't have a lot of intellect, you're free, because the journey from ego to spirit is the journey from intellect to feeling. In a very general sense, men deal with copious amounts of intellectuality and less feeling. So their journey is one out of the intellect into feeling and beyond, into a metaphysical spiritual perception of the world. And in a general sense, women are more aligned to feelings, and their journey is really to quieten the feelings and go beyond their insecurity. It's interesting that we are required to be secure in a dimension that is intrinsically insecure. The journey of the female is different to the journey of the male. The journey of the male is one of outgoing, pushing, conquering, ejaculating outwards, winning people over, selling things. The woman's journey is, generally speaking, quieter and more nurturing, and that's why they live longer. Their journey may incorporate some of the masculine traits, but more often than not, her spiritual trial is entering into this physical dimension in which she's often physically smaller and weaker than a great chunk of the population, and therein she has to develop a metaphysical, psychological, intellectual security inside a dimension in which she's insecure. So the woman's spiritual quest is to process her feelings, especially negative feelings, and become a radiant light of positivity. The man's quest? It's simple. He's just got to close down the mind. So mental discipline for someone who's very intellectual is the idea of not making your mind God and becoming too arrogant. Somehow you have to pull out of too much thinking. Excess thinking is a disease. It's what I call overthinking on life. When you get too mentally involved in questioning and intellectual activity, it keeps you from touching who you really are. You're a feeling. When you depart this earth plane, you depart as a feeling. You do not depart as 21 volumes of the Encyclopedia Britannica. Intellect is useful because it can earn you money. It can help you study. It can help you remember things. But in the end, you're a spiritual being and therefore an eternal feeling. So mental discipline breaks out into several different subheadings. The first is you've got to agree to feel secure in a dimension that is intrinsically insecure. The second thing is you've got to cure yourself gradually of the disease of overthinking. So when you find your intellect going potty, stop it and start pushing your feelings into things. That is nothing more than visualizing the circumstances, let's say back at the office, and ask yourself, how does it feel? How does the sales director feel? How does this campaign feel? Because the God Force permeates everything, so everything gives off a feeling. Even inanimate objects have a personality. They have a feeling. How does this airplane feel? Do you think I'd get on an airplane and just wander along in the great crapshoot of life? No way. I look at the energy of everything before I get on. I don't get on if I don't feel all right about it, even if it means I'm going to miss my appointments. Once, many years ago, I didn't feel good about a flight from London to Switzerland that I was taking. I got on anyway because I was committed to getting there. Sure enough, going over to the Alps, one of the engines blew. It wasn't a life-threatening situation because we just turned around and went back to London on one engine. But we flew about an hour and a half all the way to the Swiss border, and then an hour and a half back to London. Waited for 2 hours while they dragged out another plane, and finally we made the journey down there. I should have got off the plane, and I knew it before I got on, but I was scared to act. So when you know something's wrong, stop. Retreat, take a good look at it, and act. If you don't feel it's right to get inside the cab, don't worry about being impolite to the taxi driver. You can always give him a buck or two tip and say, sorry, guy, I've changed my mind. Act on your feelings. When things don't feel right, be careful. When you don't know what action to take, do nothing. Remember that and put that on your fridge. When you don't know, don't go. When in doubt, do nout. Nout's a term from the north of England. It means nothing. Do nothing. If you don't know what to do, wait. Build energy, clean up things, organize things, seek out more information. But don't act until you're certain. Think about this. If you operate out of feelings, you're never really going to make any more decisions. Decision-making for most people is an intellectual process. The fact is, either something feels right and you proceed, or it feels wrong and you don't proceed. Or there's a neutral feeling and you either don't proceed or you move very, very slowly and cautiously. So, either it feels right to marry Harry and you say, I love you, Harry, yes, I'll marry you Thursday. Or you say no. If you don't know, wait. If it feels wrong, definitely wait. So you can see how decision-making changes from an intellectual turmoil to, hey, does it feel right? If it feels right, proceed gingerly, carefully, slowly. Keep asking yourself as you go along, does it still feel right? If you're an intellectual person, your mental discipline is to ask yourself 6, 8, 10 times a day, how does it feel? How does this taxi feel? How does this office feel? How does this shopping mall feel? Look for the feeling. Bit by bit, you can wrestle the intellect to where it is supporting you with its knowledge, with its ability, but it's not dominating your life or taking you up a dead end or into a place that's unsafe or wrong for you. In addition, the intellect will suck you into personal criticism. It will get you involved in judgment. It'll make you dissatisfied. You will have a triumph, and 5 minutes later, the intellect will trash that triumph into nothing. It will show you all the things you missed out on. So you make $20,000, but you could have made $24,000, and the intellect will bitch. And if you don't control it, it will drive you mad. So mental discipline is, in effect, wrestling the intellect into stillness. Your meditation disciplines, your quiet time, your introspection are vital components. Without those, it's very hard to get the ego or the intellect to back off and to allow you to feel your spirituality. That spirituality is beautiful. It's enormous. It's a vast energy, vast power, vast amounts of information. As you seek outside of yourself for the feeling of things, you'll gradually be able to replace much of the intellect. When you're coming just out of the intellect, you're always guessing. It doesn't matter if all the graphs and all the charts tell you this, this, and this is supposed to happen. There's lots of people out there who've lost millions of dollars because of some squiggly line on a page. What happened before doesn't necessarily describe what is going to happen next, but your feelings know. So rather than having to go through life guessing, which is what the intellect has to do, go with your feelings. If you're already deeply in your feelings, then purify your feelings. Become stronger. Get into control of your life so that your emotions are solid. Stand tall. Silently, tall inside your feelings. And there's your discipline. Don't allow yourself to worry about things that are coming down line. So many people are fine. Their life is absolutely brilliant, but they can't bring themselves to admit it. If you look at your life, you'll probably find 3, 5, 20, 50 things that are absolutely marvelous. You have a roof over your head. You have some money to spend. A nice family, perhaps. Nice friends. Lovely pursuits. Your body's ticking along pretty good. You got a car to bumble around in. You know, what else are you going to need in this lifetime? What you need is serenity, not a bunch of mental drivel that moans and groans and makes you dissatisfied. You're with one person and you're constantly wondering if it would be better to be with another person. Then you go to that person and you find it's exactly the same. And then you're off to the next. It can drive you crazy. Intellectuality is useful because it assists you financially and to learn. But too much intellect is a terrible disease. It brings on chronic symptoms like seriousness, which of course is utterly revolting. This life isn't serious. It's a comedy. It's an awesomely beautiful journey. But it certainly isn't serious. Serious is an egotistical concept. It's a disease from which I personally flee at the fastest speed that my little chubby legs will carry me. Let's go to step 29, philosophical discipline. Philosophical discipline is really simple. You have to develop a mindset that works, that liberates you, that doesn't generate negative emotion and insecurity, that doesn't involve too much control from outside of you. So you can read all of the great writings, but the central thing about the philosophy that you decide to acquire is that it has to have simplicity in it. One thing that I don't care for from amongst the sacred writings is that many of them are so full of dogma, rules and regulations. Every rule and regulation is a fence in the prison that you create for yourself. There's a huge difference, isn't there, between rules and disciplines. Rules are something that are imposed to you from above, by the government, the IRS, the church, your family. Whereas disciplines are something that you joyously take on because you know they raise your energy and quieten the mind. So once you understand that, you want a philosophy that doesn't have a lot of rules. My religion is don't have too much religion. There's nothing worse than a person that is dogmatic and full of stuff. In the enormity of the God force, too much stuff looks really silly. I'll never forget the very first time I had an experience up the other end of the near-death tube, where I actually saw for the first time the light of the God force. Now, this isn't thinking about the God force or a faint feeling. It's actually seeing it. The enormity of that energy is indescribable. It's exquisite beyond words. The love and compassion. There's no way to quantify that amount of love. It's overwhelming. What that experience did for me was, it made me instantly throw out about 75% of the stuff that I believed. At the time that I had my first vision of that light, I'd been working upon myself for many years, so I'd already liberated my psychology and my philosophy from a tremendous amount of crud. Yet standing in the light for just even a second, I felt embarrassed, because a lot of my philosophy was pathetic compared to the view of the God force itself. So, move to the lightness of being, develop a psychology that works, and stay away from pomposity and arrogance and righteousness. Stay away from talking about your philosophy to other people. Stay away from trying to win people over with your philosophy or demonstrating it. It's completely different if somebody comes up and asks you something, then you can tell them what you know. But don't become a demonstrator of philosophical or spiritual wonderfulness. Develop a philosophy that works, and anytime the system doesn't work, take a really long look to review what you're doing. What do you believe? What's in your philosophy? Bag it if it doesn't work. The second part of philosophical discipline is that I think it's important at least to study the rudiments of psychology. I don't want to intimidate you and make you think that you have to go to university and plow through endless dreary text, but you could study and buy books on the basics of psychology, because a little bit of knowledge really helps you understand why people act the way they act, why they do what they do. If you study a bit about the way the mind operates, you'll understand function and dysfunction. You'll understand why people are complex. You'll understand the various psychological manifestations of man. You'll understand, for example, how transference operates in people's minds. To put it in its simplest definition, transference is when the ego or the personality feels uncomfortable and the individual tries to transfer that discomfort to somebody else or something else. People that are psychologically crippled will tend to say that it's the fault of other people. It's the Jewish people. It's the Afros. Men are doing it to me. Women are doing it to me. The government's doing it to me. Of course, no one is doing it to you. The ego is doing it to itself, and that's why you feel restricted. In order to get rid of that restriction, you transfer it, or you attempt to transfer it, and load it up on somebody else. So discrimination is actually a manifestation of an irritated, insecure ego, and that's all it is. So by looking into psychology, you understand motivations, you understand what drives people sexually, what drives their dysfunctions, their compulsions. I suggest you study psychology because it certainly helped me in my life, learning how people are going to act given a certain circumstances. Human beings on the surface are complex, but once you go past the surface, we're extremely simple to understand. In the TikTok mind of the ego personality, there are not that many urges and traits that you have to learn about. Whereas everybody considers themselves incredibly unusual and different, in fact, 99.99% of all the people you're ever going to meet are more than likely 100% predictable, even if they're acting unpredictably. What's predictable is that they're going to be unpredictable. What looks like actions that are difficult to understand are not difficult to understand once you comprehend a little bit of the psychology. So if you have a moment, pick up a book or two on psychology. There are loads of them in the shops that are written in simple terms that describe archetypes, psychological traits, compulsions, urges, etc. Buy the little thin ones. That's always been my policy because it shows that the author can put their point across without waffling. To wrap psychological discipline, the name of the game is to have as few beliefs as possible, to have as little dogma as possible, and as few rules and regulations as possible. The name of the game in psychology is to have a psychology that's light, breezy, flowing, changeable, accommodating, and easily bagged. One glimpse of the God force, and 75% of your rules will go out the window. On we go to step 30, spiritual discipline. The central point of spiritual discipline is to remind yourself that this life is a sacred journey, that you're not a physical body, you're not your emotions, your intellect, your beliefs, your tribe, your sexuality, your religion. You're an infinite being that is renting this body from the God force. You've come to experience and to transcend. The central discipline is transcendence. What will you do today that will assist you to go beyond the physical experience? What will you do today that will assist you to comprehend this journey better? Spiritual discipline is no more than keeping your eye on the infinite self, the God force. One exercise I recommend is, every so often, when you find yourself in a quiet moment, close your eyes and visualize the divine light hitting you in the forehead and in the heart. Bathe your body in light. Just visualize it for 5 to 10 seconds, then stop. Then do it again. You'll find that in this simple exercise, you'll begin to pull more and more of that infinite God force into your life. Spirituality is invisible. Never forget that. If you can see it, if it's dressed in funny robes, if it's up there to be looked at, if it's making a big performance of itself, if it's sitting there doing extremes of, look at me, I'm so holy moly, it's not spiritual. Flee. Spirituality is having the Tao in your heart, embracing the little things, embracing the softness and the silence, being like water flowing to the lowest place, the yin. It's not acting and becoming a showy person. It's not the boisterous, outgoing energy of yang. It is the process of becoming an invisible person. You can't necessarily see it on the surface. The trash man who comes around at 5 o'clock in the morning might have an enormous spirituality that you can't see. He is what he is. He is within himself. He's doing his job diligently and serving the community by hauling their crud away. So the trash man can be an incredibly godlike figure. Unfortunately, we tend to think that spirituality has to perform in a certain way. You can be rolling drunk in a bar and still be incredibly spiritual. Because at that moment when you're totally sloshed, your brain, your personality, your ego all out to lunch, and you're in touch with your spiritual self. Drunk in the physical manifestation of this evolution, but completely aligned with the God force because your mind is gone temporarily. So be careful and don't get too stuck in these dogmatic perceptions of spirituality. Become the crooked tree. Stand at the back. Be silent. Don't talk unless people ask you to. If you have a perception and you look at a person on the street and see their life story right there, don't say anything. If you know the answer, keep quiet. Don't show it to people. If they ask you, give them a little bit. Just enough to take them to the next step. But don't dump 10 tons of your wisdom upon them, because it isn't necessary, is it? A little bit here, a little bit there, that's all you ever have to do. So spiritual discipline is staying inside the God force, believing when you can't see it, knowing when you can't confirm it, being secure when everything around you looks insecure, being silent in a noisy world, being abundant when people tell you we're running out of everything. Stay inside that spirituality, and if you lose it, come back, pull back, organize, silence, meditate, pray, take a steam bath or some kind of nurturing body work. Go on a fast, constantly purify yourself. Be humble. Be brave, but don't be too showy. A lot of people that get a little bit of spirituality make a huge fuss of it. There's nothing more revolting than a person that doesn't really know anything, trotting around like they're the sage on the mount. If you teach, teach from a distance. Teach from your energy and then leave. But don't stay around for the applause. Be mysterious. Keep moving. Don't tell people where you are or what you know. Just give them enough to keep them moving along. That's spiritual discipline. Staying with the God force and not using your heightened power for unreasonable gain or to keep the ego happy. There's nothing worse, is there, than going to one of those New Age conferences and watching all those people strut about. Grim. Absolutely grim. People have such a strange idea about spirituality. They think it's this holy moly thing, clanking little bells, putting on vestments and robes. As I said, spirituality is the garbage man who believes in himself, the bag lady who has nothing but she knows who she is. She's living an uncluttered life because she's sleeping under the bridge in Central Park. That's spirituality. When you become the simplicity of the raven flying overhead, the simplicity of the little animals in the forest, at one and at peace with all things, at one and at peace with yourself. Now we'll go to the culminating steps of this program, which are quest, fusion, and the initiate. Thank you.